Welcome back to this class. We've entitled it, What in the World? A Christian Life and Worldview. And we're looking at the variance of worldviews. And why is it that people believe what they believe? And why is it even that they are so passionate about it, even sometimes militant? And it's because they have a worldview, just like we have a worldview. Even if they recognize it as a worldview or not. And so we're looking at how this worldview is formed. How is it that it's formed in our minds? How is it formed in others' minds? Because it is, and it is constantly, even if it's not consciously or deliberately formed. And that's kind of what is very interesting about this, is that we're always operating with a worldview. If we know it or not, and so is everyone else, but worldviews in that sense are very subtle. It's as if they work in the background. You can almost think of them as like on your computer, like your operating system. You know, if you're a Windows guy, you have the Microsoft operating system, or if you're a Mac person, you got the Apple operating system. And that operating system is kind of working in the background, but it's kind of bringing everything forward that you're wanting to work on and have in front of you. But you don't really notice kind of, quote unquote, the operating system. Or perhaps another example would be, if you're a real techie, a firewall, right? You have this firewall that is filtering. It's constantly filtering. And it's allowing certain things to go through, and then it's blocking other things. So it's accepting some things, and it's rejecting other things. And that's kind of your worldview as well, as it's this lens by which you are filtering everything. And so, like I said, you can't live without it. You cannot not, I know that's a double negative, but you cannot not have a worldview. Right? Because it's part of being made in the image of God. You know, I was thinking about this and reflecting on it. You know, animals don't have a worldview like we do. They can't use reason and rationale and logic. You know, they just live on instinct. They live on behavior. Okay? So Fido at home doesn't just sit there and contemplate things, contemplate life. You know, Fido doesn't have an existential moment of, you know, why am I here? What's my purpose in life? Or, you know, why did I do this way this time? That wasn't very smart. I'm going to do something different this time. They don't think on that type of level, all right? You can help them to change some behavior, but really all it is just behavior modification, right? We would say as humans, we have something much deeper than that. We can analyze why we do what we do, what we believe, and why we believe it, and what the purpose is that we have in life. And so everyone has a worldview. What we're saying is we want to have an informed worldview. We want to know the reasons why we believe the things that we believe and hold to the things that we hold to and why this is so very important. Because I say that because most, you know, don't think in that way. Most do not kind of test or prove their worldview, or they don't see the inconsistencies of it, or they're just led to believe what they're told, or what the so-called experts tell them to believe, or what the popular opinion is, the popular viewpoint of the day is. But the challenge with that is, you know, the popular viewpoint is always changing, right? And so that's why the author of Hebrews says that we shouldn't be tossed to and fro by every wind and wave of doctrine, right? And if you don't have that anchor, if you don't have that foundation, then, you know, the wind's going to blow you this way for a while, and then it's going to blow you that way, or the waves are going to take you over here, or the tide's going to move you over there. You're just going to be all over the place and not really understand the things that you believe and why you believe it. And so we want to question our viewpoints and our worldview. And that's something that, you know, as you get into discussing with those that have different viewpoints and worldview, you know, when you begin to kind of probe their worldview, oftentimes they might become very vehement against that. Because as one apologist says, it's everyone's, their worldview is their unacknowledged religion. And I think that's a good way of putting it. That your worldview is your oftentimes unacknowledged religion. These are the beliefs. These are the things that you're operating with. These are the things that are believing. And so we're taking the next several weeks before we kind of jump into kind of hot topics and what is the worldview and what is the reason why we should believe these things. We're kind of building the edifice, so to speak, of how this worldview is formed, okay? And I was hoping my piece of paper from last week would have survived. Where is it? What? This right here?
Oh, my bad.
This little piece? No. Talking about my beautiful piece of artwork up here, Jason. How could you forget? Did you steal it? Is it at your house? Is it framed? I mean, I know it was quite the masterpiece, but let me see if I can reduplicate it, okay? Because again, this is what you all come for. Oh, look at that! Just ran into the line. All right, here's our world. All right, I'm gonna draw the United States, South America. Okay, there's my world. It's pretty lopsided world there, but. That's right. All right. So, sorry, Canada. There you go. Okay. All right. So here's the world that we live in. This is the world as we see it. Okay. Here we are. Obviously, we live in the world, but for diagram purposes, we'll put you outside the world. And so we are looking at the world. Okay. And we're viewing it. And so we're taking all of this information and it goes into our eyes and it affects our mind here. It affects our will. And it's hard to picture a will, so this is how we've been picturing it, is putting this crown. Next week we'll see why that is specifically. And then it affects our heart. Okay? So, we'll write that all up here. Heart, will, mind, and eyes. And this is how we form our worldview. Most of the time, people think that, you know, we're just taking in information this way. And we're seeing the world, and as a result, we're thinking about the world, and that those thoughts affect our will, which affects our hearts. But really, what the scripture is saying is, it's actually the other way around. The heart, as we'll see, is really the root of our worldview, which affects our will, which affects our mind, which really affects the way that we see the world. In other words, we are not passive, we are not neutral in this aspect of forming our worldviews, because our hearts and our wills and our minds are very much involved, and they come with our presuppositions, our assumptions of what we hold to and what we believe. And so you can say that as people form their worldviews, it's what they see. It's what they think, it's how they submit, and then ultimately what they love or they worship. So what I'm saying or trying to show us in these 4 weeks is that we want to see clearly. We want to see clearly the world that God has given us. The only way that we can see clearly is if we think rightly, we submit fully, and we love or worship holy, holy with a W, W-H-O-L-L-Y, okay? That's how we're trying to form our Christian worldview, okay? And so last week we looked at this aspect of the eyes, and even though everyone has this world, the world that they live in, we all come to very different conclusions about that world, right? Even though there's plenty of evidence, right? Even though we live in this world that God has created, there's many, maybe you'd even say most, do not believe in the God of creation. Don't believe in his existence or believe in a different viewpoint or beliefs altogether. Even though the scriptures are very clear, Psalm 19, that the heavens declare the glory of God. The skies show forth his handiwork. Day by day they show forth speech. Night after night they declare knowledge, right? So Psalm 19 is saying that there's plenty of evidence out there. The world is constantly speaking. And the world, the title of Francis Schaeffer, God is there and he is not silent, right? God is not silent. He is speaking forth through his creation and his world all the time. And yet, people are deaf to it or they don't see it, right? Romans chapter 1 clearly tells us this because it says his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world and the things that have been made, so that they are without excuse. You hear what Paul is saying, is that the things made are clearly seen, they're clearly perceived, showing forth his power, showing forth his divine nature, and so all mankind is without excuse. And so, why don't all people see what we see? Why don't all people have the same worldview that we do, obviously with its origins in God? Well, the problem is they don't have an eye problem, right? What do they have? They have a heart problem, right? They have a worship problem. They have a love problem. Because if it was just about evidence, then everyone would believe, okay? If you could just kind of stack up all of the evidence, then people should believe. But still people don't believe, even though you have the entirety of the universe. You know, you can look at the as we talked about last week, you can look at the macrocosms, you know, look at the universe and these powerful telescopes that they're now creating, and they're seeing, you know, light years away, and yet they can't find the extent of the universe itself. I mean, that demonstrates that we are mighty small, and that there is at least a divine being that is much, much greater and more powerful. And then you can even look at the microcosms, the DNA or how cells work, and you think, man, no person could make this, make the complexity of what we are made with, okay? Just all of the different things that you were able to do this morning without even thinking about it are just multifunctional, right? You could not make a machine that did everything that you've done this morning without you even really having to, you know, perceive it. You could stumble through it, essentially. Probably most of us did, right? As we stumbled out of bed and made breakfast, got coffee, took a shower, you know, got yourself ready, got your kids ready, you know, got in a car, drove here, you know, got to sit here, now listen, be able to perceive, understand. I mean, all of these things is so incredibly complex. And so it's not a matter of not being able to see. It's not a matter of evidence, okay? Because we don't come to that evidence neutrally or passively. It comes through a filter. And probably one of the best examples of this is, you know, if you all have seen the like the Datelines or the 48-hour mysteries, right? There was a time that my wife and I were heavy into those. But, you know, at the end of it, you always kind of look at each other, kind of side-eyed. Do you ever do that? After you watch one of those, because who usually kills who? It's always the spouse, right? Or the boyfriend, girlfriend. So you kind of get done with those shows, and you just kind of go, you're not thinking anything, are you? Should I sleep with one eye open tonight? So if anything happens to me, you know, all right? Stephanie, she that's right. She may seem sweet, but I think she knows a little too much from watching those shows, okay? She knows what to do and what not to do, okay? Where was I going with that? So you watch those shows, and what do they inevitably do? They interview people that know this person. They interview a family member, or they interview the person's mom and say, did your son do this? And what's their response? Absolutely not. My son would never do anything like this. Well, there's, 20 witnesses that says that he did. There's, DNA that demonstrates that he was there. The person that he murdered before they died gave a confession that he did it. There's all of this evidence, and yet it doesn't matter, right? Because why? They've already come to their view, their worldview, so to speak, that their son or their daughter could never do that. And so it's not just about the eyes. But today I want us to look at our mind, and this is what we usually think about when we think of our worldview. It's how we think, and it definitely is that, but I want us to see in the coming weeks that it's even a little deeper than what we think, because it's focused on our heart and our will as well. So when we think about a worldview, here's a basic definition. This comes from my good friend who's the associate pastor at Woodruff Road in Greenville, who borrowed some materials from. He defines it as this: a worldview is a set of presuppositions, which are assumptions, that are right or wrong or partially so, which we hold knowingly or unknowingly about the basic makeup of our world. Okay, so kind of a little bit more of a technical definition. Let me read it again. A set of presuppositions, which are assumptions that are right or wrong or partially so, which we hold knowingly or unknowingly about the basic makeup of our world. Okay, so again, it's a filtering system. And I think of it this way. My parents, for a time, lived in Minnesota, and there was a person in their church that had an egg processing plant. It's a small little egg processing plant. They processed probably 1,000 eggs a day. So they would get them from the different farms, and they would get these eggs on this belt, and they would kind of go down this line, and they would go through this little system where light would shine through it to see if there was any cracks in the eggs or if anything was wrong, and basically any bad eggs got thrown out. They got rejected, okay? And if they made it through that little process, then they would go through this little filtering system where they would be sorted by different sizes. So you'd have the jumbo eggs would go down this little conveyor belt, and the large eggs and the medium eggs and small eggs and whatnot. And it was fascinating, because there would just be these little puffs of air would push these eggs in all different directions in the way that they should go. And that's kind of how we should think of worldviews. As I give you a topic, as I give you a thought, it's almost like that little, it's like a chicken egg, right? Going down the conveyor belt. And it's going to either be accepted or rejected, right? And if it's accepted, then it's going to go through this kind of filtering process to see how it fits with our life and with our worldview. So there's kind of three main categorizations. Let me see if I can use the other side of this. Again, maybe investing in a portable whiteboard may be helpful for us. But we'll do what we can do. All right, so let me move this over here. So there's three main categorizations by which we filter things. Who or what exists? Okay, who or what exists, and then how do you know that? And then last question, so what? Okay. And these are all, if you've ever taken a philosophy course, this is kind of the main categories of philosophy, okay? And you can break these all down into further studies. So who or what exists is ontology, how do you know, epistemology, so what, axiology or teleology, okay? That's kind of the formal study of these type of things. But we can even break it down just a little bit further to help us understand what we mean by these. So who or what exists, we can just call this reality. Okay? What is reality? So we want to have us be able to define what is reality. This, how do you know, is the reason for that. How do you know this is reality? Or on what basis? So you want to be able to justify your reason. And then last is this prescribed outcome. Okay? So these are kind of the filters by which we kind of filter things. Okay, so I know that's kind of technical, but hopefully I can kind of flush this out a little bit with some helpful examples that show what we do and how we should do this in the right way. So let's take a very non-controversial one. Today is Super Bowl Sunday, as they say. So this will be my one and only reference to the Super Bowl. Okay, I promise you that. So let's take one of your worldview of the Super Bowl. Okay, some of you might be saying my worldview is I don't care about the Super Bowl. That would be my wife's worldview of the Super Bowl. But let's take one team. Okay, so let's take Tampa Bay. Let's say you're a Tampa Bay fan. And what you think as you go into this, as you form your worldview of the Super Bowl, you think that Tampa Bay is the best, okay? Why is that? What's the reason for that? Well, you could give several reasons, but maybe because of
the cheat.
That's not a bad reason, maybe. because they cheat, or because they have Tom Brady, right, who knows how to win Super Bowls. Or you could give several different reasons, either subjective, or you could go with facts, you could go with stats, okay? And so what is going to be the outcome? Well, Tampa Bay is going to win the Super Bowl, right? TB win SB, okay? So that's your worldview. The good thing about this is, guess what? It gets to be tested, right? Because there's a game that's going to take place. So what if you go into this game and this is your worldview, but you find out your worldview is completely wrong, okay? That Kansas City comes in and just mops up, you know. Tom Brady leaves on a stretcher. and Kansas City wins. Okay? Well, okay, this worldview by itself before the game is not bad. But what if you held on to that worldview even after the Super Bowl? Okay? What if at work tomorrow, when you're standing around the water cooler, two things that don't happen anymore, right? Go to work and stand around the water cooler. But at Smyrna Prez, we do that. So let's just say, all right, so Danny and I are standing around the water cooler tomorrow, and he goes, Tampa Bay is going to win the Super Bowl. And I go, Danny, the Super Bowl was yesterday and they lost. And he goes, it doesn't matter. Tampa Bay is the best. Right? What would you say about Danny?
Sounds like a Falcons fan.
Sounds like a Falcons fan. That's right. Ouch. Let's keep the daggers out, okay? You would say that Danny is living in La La World, right? He's living in a delusional state. He's a delusional fan, okay? So whereas this worldview may be fine today, tomorrow, you know, if it's proved to be wrong, if it's proved to not be reality, then there's something wrong there, okay? But see, this is the yeah. Go ahead.
That you hold fast to, but this is more just like an opinion that you have.
Right. So this is just giving something that's kind of non-controversial.
It's
so,
like, you know.
But let me show you how, you know.
You can change your mind, you know, after the fact.
Right. So let me give you a different example. I wanted to give us something that hopefully we could relate to that's not very very controversial. But let me give you something that is much more, quote unquote, controversial and challenging, where people have very different worldviews. Okay, let's take the example of abortion. Okay, and what I want us to see is that most people live over here in the so what. That most people have what we call a utilitarian worldview. Is that we live according to what we believe, what we want, what we like, what we think is best. But we must see that all of these things are very much interconnected. And if we only live over here without these things being formed, and the reason why, we'll begin to demonstrate that our worldview is going to be, for lack of a better word, messed up. Okay, so let me show you what I mean by that. So when people believe in legal abortion, right? People want abortion to be legal, be open, be available. What is the reason for that? Well, they say it's good for the mother. Good for society. Can give several different reasons. What happens though is, what's that begin to say about what is reality? Well, what it begins to say is that, you know, it's the mother's choice. And this is a baby if desired. Okay? But if it's not desired, then what? It's not a baby, right? It's not a child. But what I want us to see is that we have to form our worldview with what is reality first before we can come over here to what is the outcome. Otherwise, we begin to reshape reality into what we want it to be rather than what it is. Okay, so let's take the Christian worldview of life. Okay, what is the reality about humans. What would we say about humans? Made in the image of God. So that means that they have worth, they have dignity, there's to be honor given to them from if they are just a few cells all the way until the person has no functionality in this world, right? They could be a drooling fool in the nursing home, right? But we'd still say there's still inherent dignity and worth. Why? Because they're made in the image of God. How do we know that? Yeah, the Word of God tells us. Scripture tells us. And therefore, what's the outcome? Do not murder, right? Give respect and honor and dignity to the life because of this is the reality. So do you see how we have to shape our worldview with what it is before we come over here? Because if we do it only with our outcomes, then it's going to reshape what really exists or what is really there. Yeah, Adam.
Well, the frustrating thing is like the example you gave, you know, when you go the next day after the Super Bowl and, you know, your buddy's like, hey, my team won, and you're like, no, they didn't, you know, and that's not reality. It's like trying to talk to a person who says, well, that baby inside that womb is not human.
Mm-hmm.
It's like trying to talk to a person whose reality is just so messed up that it's like talking to an insane person.
Right.
And I find that when I get into discussions and there's that at the forefront, trying to even dialogue with someone who's telling me that the child in that womb is not human.
Right.
Is the most frustrating thing in the world.
And this is where you know, if we prescribe to this, okay? What's really scary is this is the same worldview as what? Is the same worldview as Adolf Hitler. Right? We just changed the terms. Legal genocide. The eradication of people. Why was that? Well, because it was good for society, right? According to the Nazis. Why? Because it was Hitler's choice, because he had power over them. And the Jews were only human if seen so. And by the Nazis, they were seen as less than human. So they could be absolutely eradicated. And so, you know, I don't say that to say, you know, use that as a defense to give you that gotcha moment with type people. But say, you know, all right, if you believe that, then how can you say what Adolf Hitler did was wrong, which everybody would say is wrong, right? Because it's the same, it's the exact same worldview. In fact, you know, as we discover what Margaret Sanger, the founder of Planned Parenthood, was all about, she was a firm believer in eugenics, right? She was trying to eradicate little black children because she wanted a pure white race. Well, why should we be surprised by that? It's the same worldview, okay? So, yes, like I said, Catherine, Super Bowl has very little consequences of what you believe. This has major consequences of how we think of the world. Yeah.
Another thing, though, is the Bible says that God's thoughts are above our thoughts, His ways are above our ways. Whatever, so to me, that's very humbling, because whatever worldview that we have to always test it against God, you know, what God says and what the Bible says.
Absolutely.
Because there are times when I thought I understood something, and then I read the Bible, and I'm like, oh, geez, you know, and I'm humble.
Yeah, exactly.
So we always have to, even as Christians, we can easily
fall. Absolutely. Absolutely. And that's where we're getting to, you know, on the flip side of this, why we have to deal so much with our heart and our will and our mind, because we can be as easily deceived as the next person. So let me give you another example of this, another practical one. There's a campus pastor friend of mine. That's not Danny, but I'm sure Danny had this situation as well, where he began to, as he did college campus ministry, You know, he would have these kids that would come, and they would be part of the college campus ministry, and they would be excited, and they'd be a part of it, and they'd be in leadership. And then he started to notice with some that there would be this pattern where they began to drop out and stop showing up, right? And so he would track them down and get coffee with them, get lunch with them, whatever, and say, you know, what's going on? Haven't seen you at campus ministry for a while. And all of a sudden, they would start having this crisis of faith, right? You know, well, I just don't know about Christianity. I just don't know about God. You know, the Bible has all sorts of contradictions and things of that nature. And he said, it took me a little while to catch on. And I would start to try to engage them and ask, well, why is that? You know, what's the reason why? Can we talk about that a little bit more? And he said, I stopped doing that. And I began to ask him a different question. What question was that? You want to think about that?
Who are you sleeping with?
you're sleeping with your boyfriend or girlfriend, right? And he said almost 9 out of 10 times their eyes would get really big because they thought he was like a prophet. And because that was the reality, right? Was that they were sleeping with their boyfriend or girlfriend, which means that they had a desired outcome, but what happened? They were reshaping reality into either God doesn't exist, or the God that does exist is loving or forgiving or wants me to be happy. And so you see, if we just live here, we're really beginning to reshape reality. And I think that's taking place more and more. Maybe next week we're running out of time, but this is a book that I'm reading right now by Carl Truman, The Rise and Triumph of the Modern Self. I do not recommend it to you because it's not a page turner, but it's very, very helpful. He, as a historian, goes into how have we gotten where we are, and he kind of traces a lot of the roots, and as a result, it's kind of very dark roots because he is looking into Darwin and looking into Nietzsche and Freud and all of these thinkers that have brought us to where we are. But he talks in here, and I'll try to read it next time, is that, you know, we used to live in a world where we were very much kind of dictated to by reality, right? If you were a farmer back in the 1700s or later, right, you were very dependent upon nature for your crops to be able to grow, okay? You'd put your seed in the ground, and then you would have to pray for rain, and be dependent upon that rain and that water. He goes on to say, well, as technology has advanced, we've been able to provide all that we need for those things and be able to almost in some ways begin to kind of shape reality into what we want it to be able to get to the desired outcomes. And he thinks, you know, and part of his book is that we're living much more over here what outcomes we want, rather than what is in true reality according to what God has made. And I think that's very much the case, especially as we live in social media world, right? Where we can make reality what we want it to be, not what it actually is, okay? So I can take 30 selfies to get the very best selfie, and then even then, I can put a filter upon it to manipulate it, to make it look even better than what it is before I post it. See, we're changing the quote-unquote reality according to what we want it to be. And so virtual reality becomes reality to us, okay? And we can go on. I'll tell you this. This just happened last night. So My son, it's his birthday, February 18th, my youngest son, the 5-year-old. And so since about December 26th, which is the day after Christmas, he's started to look forward to his birthday, which is February 18th. And so he's been wanting to know how many days. So we had this discussion last night of how many days until February 18th. And I said, well, I think it's 12 days. And he goes, no, it's 11. I said, no, I think it's 12. And so what does he do? He goes to Alexa, right? Because you can't believe your dad, but you can believe Alexa. And so he asks Alexa, how many days until February 18th? And Alexa comes back, February 18th is in 12 days. And then it gets even funnier. He goes, Alexa, make it 11 days. Because that's what Alexa can do, right? She can change the world. She can change reality. But I say all this, and I'll close with this. Exactly what Catherine is saying, we have to be very careful of this as well. That we do not just live in whatever our flesh, our heart, our mind wants, right? Because that's exactly what Eve did in the garden, right? When she saw that the fruit was pleasing to the eye, was good for food, and that it would make her wise, what did she do? She changed what the Lord said. She changed what was reality so she could get what she desired. And the same thing is true of us every time we sin. We are reshaping reality as it really is to get what sometimes our sinful heart desires. And so that's why we really need, as we form this, this is why we need the reading of the Bible. This is why we need preaching and teaching. Because this is always helping us to shape our worldview. That we're really understanding what is reality and why that is. And then the desired applications that come from it. Yeah, Rodney.
This is a great example. You're trying to change reality. This is Catherine.
Yeah, and that's Christine.
Oh, I'm sorry. Christine, Catherine, see?
What does Alexa say?
That's right. Who does Alexa say you are? Thank you. Yes, Christine, yeah.
Real quick,
Ron.
You brought up an excellent point about the testability of your worldview and what outcome does that yield. And two very contrasting cases of what's going to happen with the Super Bowl versus what's going to happen with this baby's life.
Mm-hmm.
And so thinking about, you know, the whole counsel of God is very limited. One case I can think of where God asks us to test him in the giving manner of Malachi.
Mm.
So I don't know if you're going to cover the testability part of it in future sessions.
Right.
I'd love to hear your
and that's kind of what we're doing is just for our own self, being able to form the structure to understand how worldviews work and how we think and how everybody else thinks so that we can kind of put some things to the test. And that's what I hope to do later on is to take you know, hot topic issues and then say, okay, what's the world? Why do they believe that? How did they get there? And then what's the Christian worldview and reasons why? Well, the kids are more than overdue for their donuts, so let's pray. Lord, we thank you and praise you for this good morning, this time to be able to be together. And Lord, we pray that this morning would be, as we said, a worldview shaping moment in our own lives as we see and understand what reality truly is according to you, according to your word, and that we would live according to that, oh Lord, that in your light we would see light, would see the light of everything as it is because of the light of who you are. And so Lord, we pray that you'd help us in this to discover it and live accordingly. Lord, we pray that you'd help us according to your Holy Spirit, because we are flesh and we are sinful and we are weak. But Lord, we pray that your Spirit would help us and enable us. For we pray this in Christ our Savior's name. Amen.